Just our continued interest in your prayers for the message this morning. I appreciate so much many of the things that Brother Jamie mentioned in his prayer. If we would stop and consider each day, and perhaps we already do, but if you're not, I encourage you to develop the habit that each day that we would stop and consider how much mercy God has bestowed upon us. And the fact that the longer we live, we're going to need more mercy, aren't we? And in that mercy, God has been so good to us. Our subject deals with the love of God this morning. But I wonder if we ought to pause and just consider how much of the love of God that we're feeling right now. Is our heart set upon the Lord, or is our mind and our heart set upon somewhere else? God has blessed us with an opportunity to gather together and worship His great and holy name. And He's so worthy of it, isn't He? Oh, His goodness, His mercy endureth forever. You just stop and think about the goodness of God, how good He is, and along with that goodness, how powerful He is. You see, we don't have to worry in the least about God using His power, because we know He is good. Now, I shiver when I think about some of the people in places of authority today having much power. Don't you? And so I have to just, my heart just has to flee back to God and say, Lord, I know You're in control, and I know You're going to take care of us. And so we just continually go to God with our prayers, with our praises, with our thanksgiving, and asking Him for the things that we stand in need of. Now, for the last several weeks, we've kind of built on the verses of Scripture that you find over in the book of Jude. And I want to reread that just to kind of get it fresh in your mind. Very short little book of Jude. But verses 20 and 21, where Jude said, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Our safety, while we make our way in this world, if indeed we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if indeed we have felt His love in our hearts, then we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's an exhortation. That tells us, God, that's not something God's going to do for us automatically. He reached down to us where we were, and He gave us His Spirit. He gave us spiritual life. He gave us His love. And the best thing that we can do with it is to reflect it back into the world. To show it to others. To show what God has done for us out of thanksgiving and gratitude for what He has done for us, so that this world could be a little better place. What if people were walking more in the love of God? Now, we understand it's only God's people that's going to do that, right? Okay? So that's a given. And the more I study Scripture and the more I consider what it says, there's no way I can prove this, but my inclination, my persuasion based on the Scriptures is that God has more people than the non-elect, as far as the elect of God. Now, you say, well, why? How could you say that? Because in all things, Christ Jesus is to have the preeminence. If He doesn't have the greater part, then He wouldn't have the preeminence in that. So in all things, He's to have the preeminence. But beside that, my point is this. We know that there are some that have not faith. We know there's many that are not going to walk according to the love of God. Okay? But what if all of the people that God has touched their hearts and bless them to know him, what if they were more diligent in walking in the love of God? And by that I mean they're honoring Christ. You know, we've got a tremendous influence that's flooding our nation right now that's Antichrist. Are we just going to lay down and let it happen? I'm not preaching civil disobedience, but I'm telling you, a lot of God's people are so filled up with the things of this world, you can't see any evidence of grace from their life. It's time for God's people to stand up and be faithful to Him. If we claim to be Christians, then live like one. Pray like one. Love like one. Forgive like one. Walk like one, right? Anybody agree with that? All right. He's worthy of it, isn't he? He's worthy of far more than we'll ever be able to show forth to him in the way of praise and adoration. But we ought to be found trying, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven's pure world. Aren't you glad? We don't have to worry about all those things that we have to deal with in this life when we are blessed to be taken to that world. All right? Jude exhorted us, building up yourselves. And so we went from that, we went to 2 Peter chapter 1, those seven things that Peter, by the inspiration of the Spirit, gave us that we are to add to our faith, with the end being that an abundant entrance would be ministered unto us into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that kingdom is here. It's available to us now. We can press into it right now, but it's not automatic. We can neglect it. We can ignore it. And the blessings of feeling the fellowship of our Lord, of feeling His love, of manifesting that love to others, and being one that somebody could look at and say, now there goes a Christian. And when we, if we should be able to have that said of us, then the glory would go to God. But the joy would be all ours, wouldn't it? But He gets all the glory. So there's some things that Peter said we're to add to our faith. That faith comes in regeneration. We have the ability to embrace these things. We have the Spirit within us that witnesses to the truth of God's Word and the truth of what we should be doing. And so we find that there are plenty of things for us to be doing to add to our faith so that we can enjoy a more abundant entrance into that kingdom. One of the next messages that we spoke about very recently was that faith worketh by love. He's given us faith in the new birth. All right, but what are we doing with it? It worketh by love. If we're ignoring the love of God, we don't have much feeling of love in our hearts, and there's going to be very little work of righteousness done, because love is what energizes our faith. And if the Lord would bless us for a little while longer, that's what we want to talk about today, the love that energizes faith. All right? Now, obviously, that's God's love, isn't it? But it's God's love that He has given to us. And as good stewards of what God has given to us, we're to use it properly. You know how to have more love? Give it away. Isn't that strange? That there's something that you can have more of it besides poverty by giving away. If God has blessed us with His love, then the way that we can have more of His love is to give that love to others. And we need to do it in the right way, don't we? And there's a whole chapter in the New Testament dealing with this subject, isn't it? And we would do well to read it on a regular basis, because it reminds us. And as he goes about describing this love, which he calls charity, which our simple definition of charity is putting love into action. You might even say it's taking that love God's given to us and letting it flow out to others. Isn't that what the commandments are all about? The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we can get that right, the Spirit will lead us into all truth so that we can grow in grace and add these other things and be more faithful and be more profitable, be more productive in the way of spiritual fruit of this life, that we might be a blessing to those around us. Don't you just love those that are so godly and so that demonstrate such Christian morals? Don't you just love to be around those folks? Question would be then, do they love being around us? Are we manifesting those things? See, there's a lot of things we know, but the joy of this comes in putting it into practice. When Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And so the joy is going to come in the doing of them. All right, so Peter gave us some things to add. And when we do these things, 2 Peter 1, verse 10, when he said, there's a word I'm not getting. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What does Peter mean by that? I think we've dealt with this a little bit, but what does Peter mean by making your call? Here's an exhortation. Here's something that we have some responsibility about. Make your calling and election sure. Well, there's nothing faulty in what God has done for us in giving us His Spirit. Nothing faulty in the faith that He's planted within us. Nothing faulty in our election in the covenant of grace. There's nothing faulty about whether or not we're going to make it to heaven's pure world because we didn't do something here. We understand that Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. But when he says, make your calling and election sure, we need to faithfully follow what he's taught us to do, that we might have the assurance in ourselves and that we might show forth that love to others, so that others could see an abundance of evidence in our life so that they can glorify God. All right? That's what's left to be made sure. What Christ has done for us is sure, but what we need to do in response to what he's done for us is something that we need to do so that it shows forth all the blessings of what he has done for us. All right? Make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an abundant entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom. That's what we want day by day, isn't it? That abundant entrance. You know, it's not something that we enter into once and we stay there. This kingdom is spiritual. And our mind and our heart needs to be set upon these things so that we can enjoy it. Because when this old flesh drags us away from those things and tempts us or is successful in getting us to set our mind and our heart on the things of the world, we're not enjoying the kingdom at that point. That's why we, against the flesh, we have to press into the kingdom. It takes energy. It takes effort. First Corinthians chapter 13. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and we have a whole chapter where he describes charity, which is the last of the seven things that Peter dealt with. Remember? As Peter went through the list of things, which, by the way, he said, add to your faith. Well, we've discovered from Galatians 5 and 6 that faith worketh by love. So we need to be feeling that love to God. We need to be exercising that faith. The love that we have will energize that faith. All right? The seven things that Peter went through, that courage that we talked about, or virtue is what the word that he used, and that's courage. The more love we have in our hearts for God, the more perfected our love is, the more we cast out fear, the more courageous we are. So when you go down that list, you can just look at that and see, well, you know, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. I might have left out one. Temperance is in there too. When you look at that list, there's a need for love in the beginning of it, and at the end of it, there is the ability to show forth that love to others. So we need to be building up ourselves on those things so that we can be a loving disciple and one that's showing love to others. All right? Now, that's kind of the what we need to be doing. 1 Corinthians 13 will tell us how we need to go about it. How we need to go about it. And this is so important that there's three verses in the very beginning of it that hopefully will get the point before we get into the mechanics of what he says later to show us how important it is for us to have the right attitude and the right heart in anything that we would try to do in our works of faith so that love would be energizing it and that it would be profitable. If we don't have the love of God in mind in our service to God, we are missing the mark. We're missing the mark. If love's not there, if love's not motivating, if love's not energizing, if love's not helping us to apply these principles, then we have missed the mark and it's unprofitable. It's no use. You believe that? Is this important? I mean, if it underlies everything that we are to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it would be good for us to pay attention to it. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, he speaks, the whole chapter, he speaks about love. I mentioned it last week, and I kind of figured that there's probably a small chance that not everybody would go to that chapter and compare it to what we've been talking about. So we're going to take some time this morning. Love. Charity. Charity being love in action. Let me give you a little bit of foundation here. The placement of this lesson. The Apostle Paul in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, I guess I need to back up a little bit more than that. Do you remember the church at Corinth? It was a wicked city. Do we have any of those today? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. It was a wicked city, given to idolatry, given to a lot of sexual immorality. That was just so common in the city of Corinth. Who would think of planting a church in the city of Corinth? Paul, at one point, was fearful for his life. But God, Jesus, appeared to him and said, "Fear not. I have much people in this city." God had people there. I'm afraid so many would look at that and say, well, there's no reason to preach the gospel there. It's too much ungodliness, too much immorality. Yet God sent the Apostle Paul there to preach the gospel. And not only did he preach the gospel, he was blessed with the Holy Spirit coming down, preaching the word in power, there was great evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit among them. And not only that, but more than any other church that we find recorded in the scripture, they were given spiritual gifts. I mean, it just seems like with all this said about any of the other churches, the church at Corinth was given more spiritual gifts than any other that's spoken of. Now, isn't that amazing? But if God's given you a spiritual gift, you have to use it in the right way, or it's not going to glorify God. And so after, in chapter 12, he speaks of all these spiritual gifts that they had. And then over in chapter 14, he comes back to the subject of spiritual gifts and how they were to use those spiritual gifts. Right in the middle of that, we have a pause, an emphasis of how that we have to use spiritual gifts if we're going to be profitable in the service of God and be a blessing to others. And that's the point of love anyway, isn't it? That we might be a blessing to others. Wouldn't you love for someone, hope it's a long time before you have a tombstone, but if somebody wants to write an epitaph on your tombstone, wouldn't it be great if they could say, here lies a loving person, or someone that was a loving person during their lifetime? Wouldn't you love to be known as that? I mean, if no matter what else you were, if the first thing they remembered about you was you were a loving person. Oh, my goodness. I would say that is a life that has been well lived, wouldn't you? Well lived. If we can get that right, there's a whole lot of other things we'll get right, because the Spirit will lead us in that way. All right? All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to the guidance, before we get into what love is, the nuts and bolts of what love is, listen to the guidance that we're given in verses 1 through 3. Look at the importance. I mean, if you miss this and just rush right into verse 4 and the rest of it, you risk not using these things in the right way. All right, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. There's no life in that. It's just sound. Right? All right, so if the words that we speak, if they're not filled with love, if it's not our motivation to speak it in love, they're just empty words. Now, how much? Well, let's see. Let's go to what we call the wild Gadarene in the scriptures. Had that legion of demons within him. He was dwelt among the tombs. See, no man could tame him. They tried to chain him with fetters, and he just plucked them off with his fingers. This was a wild man. But when the grace of God came, when Jesus cast out the demons, he was seated at the foot of Jesus. He was in his right mind, and he was clothed. And when Jesus was ready to leave, he wanted to go with Jesus. You can understand that, can't you? But what did Jesus tell him? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. You know, that's part of our job as a disciple of Jesus, is to tell others of the great things that God has blessed us with. But we better be telling it in the right way. There better be some love to God in those words, or they're just going to be empty words, and we're going to miss the opportunity to be a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. how we speak the words. There has to be the love of God in those things. Paul would write to the Ephesians, say, speaking the truth in love. That's how we grow up in Him. All right? So, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, wouldn't you love to have that? And understand all mysteries. You can put up a sign, somebody's going to be preaching on the end times, and you can fill up a building. That's what folks want to hear. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. What's the rest of that? Oh, that gets personal. I'm nothing. You know, folks start getting some knowledge and getting some understanding about things. It's easy for them to get puffed up, isn't it? It's easy for them to think they're somebody. We have to guard against that. If we don't speak these things in love, we are nothing. Nothing. Wow. This must be important. If we don't do it in the right way, we're nothing. All right, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. My goodness. Now, it's a good thing to feed the poor, isn't it? And he said, though I give all my goods to feed the poor. And then to give your body to be burned. In other words, the ultimate sacrifice of giving yourself for some cause or for something else. If you don't do it in love, if you do it for any reason other than your love for God and wanting to desire, show that love to others, if you do it for some other reason, what does he say? It profiteth me nothing. No profit. What a shame. If someone would bestow all their goods, even to the point of giving their body as a sacrifice to be burned, and it profited nothing. Wow. That would be something, wouldn't it? All right. So how we take what God gives us and call it service to Him, hoping to be a blessing to others, how we do that has to be in a loving way. All right, I think we got that. I think we understand that. But then in the next few verses, he describes what kind of love that is. And here is our opportunity to grow. Here's where we need a lot of help. I need a lot of help. You need a lot of help. A lot of people need a lot of help in understanding how to go about this. But we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. We don't have opinions. This is not from Dr. Phil. This is not from some advisor. This is from the God who has all wisdom. This will work. And it'll work every time. Your results are not guaranteed because people are fallen, their mind is elsewhere, but if you will be faithful to do what God tells you to do, you can be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The results are up to God. Okay? Our responsibility is to know how we're to live our lives, how we're to love one another, how we're to love God, how we can show forth those wonderful things that God has done for us, that we could be a blessing in this life. I want to know that, don't you? All right, so he begins in verse 4. Charity suffereth a few seconds. No, it's more than that, isn't it? It's a few minutes at least, isn't it? Suffereth long. How long? There, I think I heard that. As long as it takes. You know, it's amazing when you look through the Bible and see how long some things took before they came to pass. God may have started speaking about it. And he might even say, it's going to be 400 years. I can't wait that long, can you? I'm not even going to be here. Well, guess what? It's not about you. It's about God. It's about his glory. And we have the opportunity every day we live to show forth his glory. And just let him use us as he will. I know we don't like to hear it, let him. But if it's an exhortation, the book of Hebrews is full of it, isn't it? Just Nancy's been reading Hebrews here lately. Isn't there a lot of let us's in the, all right? There's a lot of exhortation in the scriptures. You might do it and you might not. But if you will, he'll be faithful to you. He's always faithful. All right? Charity, this love. If we're going to show forth God's love that he's put in our... As a matter of fact, I didn't even... This is such a big subject. It's just hard to carve out a path. But stop and think about now. This charity, this love in action, it's not something God just sent us the words and told us about what he's done. No, he did. He showed us. Right? What's the greatest expression of God's love? That's right. Sending his son to this world to suffer tremendously, to suffer more than we'll ever suffer in this life. He's already done that for us. And that's the reason why we're to be long-suffering with others. Because God's already been long-suffering with us. He's been more long-suffering with us than we'll ever be with anyone else. That's the reason why we should obey that scripture. All right? But a better way was simply to say, because we love God. Because he's done so much for us. And as we think about how that he gave his son to save us from our sins, saved us from eternal hell, punishment, torment, eternal separation from God and all the family of God. He did that for us. We didn't deserve it, but he graciously, wonderfully, mercifully did that for us. And if we're going to try to show forth the kind of love that he has already shown to us, then the first thing he says is to be long-suffering with others, because that's what he has been with us. Can we do that? Might take some effort. We're going to have to do some self-denial, aren't we? Gee, I wonder if that's why Jesus said the first thing of discipleship was, if we're going to follow him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. Okay? Suffering long. When you start digging into the definitions of that phrase, you'll find a slowness to anger. Yeah. A slowness to anger. You know, those folks that are closest to you, they can make you the maddest the quickest, can't they? I've scratched my head over that so many times. But we need to control that. Wait a minute. That's not love. Long-suffering is what we need to be. Patient and kind is what we need to be. You know, and there's a lot of overlap between how Paul describes this love and those seven things that Peter spoke about that we should be adding to our faith. And you can also go to the fruit of the Spirit and find some similarities between what comes forth from the presence of the Spirit in us. So these are not separate thoughts. It's part of the whole truth of God's Word. But here, he's approaching it from the idea of love. We're to be long-suffering. All right? Charity suffereth long. It's the opposite of being hasty and impatient. It's the idea of bearing with a situation. And when you start thinking about those, it it wearies your mind, doesn't it? But listen, God's got all the strength and the grace we need to help us. And very quickly in a situation like that, if we know how we should approach it, but if we feel like that we're inadequate, then that's when our heart needs to flee to God and say, Lord, help me. I need strength. I need your grace. I need wisdom. I need your guidance. You know, that kind of prayer honors the Lord. And he answers them speedily. Now, it may just show us the next step, not the whole path. But he hears that kind of prayer, all right? So we need to be suffering long. Not only, he says, charity suffereth long, he says, and is kind. Kind. Don't you love to think about the kindness and the mercy of God? How he's shown it to us so many times. That's how we're to be with one another. If we're going to show forth this love that he's speaking of here. Again, the definition would give us the idea of being courteous, even when provoked. Boy, that takes some grace, doesn't it? If you're not careful, somebody provoke you, you're going to provoke them back, at the least, right? Be kind. If we're going to show the love of God, isn't that what we're told about Jesus? When he was threatened, he reviled not. Right? We've got to learn some kindness to go along with this long suffering. And they're coupled together here. You know, it's easy to be kind when a person's kind to us. Such a welcome thing when you have to have some business dealings or something and you go into this place and they're just so kind and so patient with you. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? Well, that's good, and that's the way we need to be. But the scripture says if we're going to have the kind of love that's pleasing to God, it's going to be doing that in the presence of being provoked. Oh, man. That's going to take some grace, isn't it? Well, God is full of grace. He's happy to dispense grace to those who ask him for it. All right, so this kind of love, even when we're being provoked, we're being exhorted to be kind. Continue to look to God. All right? Let's see. It suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Let me just read some more of this. And as we read these next few phrases, listen for how much self is addressed. All right? That could be the biggest obstacle we have in loving the way we should. Self. And selfishness. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. All of those expressions really are directed to self and selfishness. When he says it envieth not, envieth not. What that means is we can rejoice when other people are blessed. And not feeling like, selfishly, like, well, that ought to happen to me. Why can't that happen to me? I'm a good person. Why can't that happen to me? If we're envious of others' blessings, we're not showing the kind of love that we should have on display as we live our lives. All right, now see how closely this relates. Not only does it envy not, it vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Those two expressions have the idea of being boastful and proud. And it's interesting to me that both of those words, boasters and proud, when Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, in Romans chapter 1, is speaking about the sins of men, one of the longest lists of sins you'll find in the Scriptures, those two are right there in the mix. And then, when Paul is writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we preached on that not long ago, and how that those in the last days perilous times shall come, and how that men shall be. And he went through this long list of things, and there they are again. Boasters and proud. Do we need to guard against that? If you're born of the Spirit, does that just knock those things right out of you? Well, I wish it did, but I'm here to tell you it doesn't. We have to work on it. We have to add that to our faith. We have to keep our minds on the love of God and be reminded of how God loves us and how we need to be reflecting that in our lives. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. You know, some of these expressions we really don't have to spend a lot of time defining, do we? Doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, our behavior should not be a reproach to the cause of Christ. Plain and simple. That means we're not doing things that we know are wrong. That we're not desiring to do those things. Because our mind and our heart ought to be set upon the Lord. All right, so if we're going to show this kind of love as we live our lives, if we're going to offer up Christian service that's acceptable to God, then that needs to be a part of this. We need to be careful about our behavior. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. This is, again, brings in the idea of being selfish, doesn't it? We're not to be that way, but it also carries us forward to the idea of desiring for the good of others. Seeketh not our own. What we're seeking is the good for others. Do you know that needs to be a part of our regular life? Just stop for just a second and think back over the last week. How much of your time did you think about somebody else and do something just so that you could be a help to somebody else? I mean, that's a mark of Christianity. Loving God, because we love God, we love one another. All right, now I know that we stay busy on our jobs and it consumes our time and all that, but as we go about it, we can be kind, we can be as we have an opportunity, we can be gracious to someone else, can't we? Offer a word of encouragement or just something that shows that we're interested in other folks and not just interested in ourselves. All right? So he says, seeketh not our own, not easily provoked. That's easy to understand, isn't it? Not easily provoked. In other words, the love of God tempers us. Now let's see. Didn't Peter call that temperance? In other words, when we're thinking of self and something frustrates us, then we're not getting what we want. We get angry. But if we're thinking about the mercy God's placed upon us, and the blessings that we have of knowing the Lord and knowing His Word and knowing His kingdom and having that hope of heaven, when our mind is set and our heart is set upon that, then we can more patiently go through our day, can't we? You just have to leave home knowing some things are just not going to go well. I mean, it's just a given, isn't it? And if you go through the day and everything's been fine and you didn't have anything that didn't go wrong, then praise God. Because I'm telling you, that's a day that you don't have very often, isn't it? I can tell you know what that's all about. All right? We shouldn't be easily provoked if we're going to be displaying the love of God. Now, that's just plain and simple. All right? Easy to understand. Easier to understand than it is to put it into practice. All right? But that's the challenge, isn't it? We're to add, using the language from 2 Peter chapter 1, we're to add these things to our faith. All right? not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The idea in this thinking no evil is that we're not suspicious. Somebody says something, just not that we got to be gullible about everything, but don't be suspicious. Don't accuse them of evil when you don't know the facts. Just be kind and gracious. Person that's looking for the good, and we're getting to that in just a moment. Thinketh no evil. Not looking for faults, not apt to look for faults, but looking for the good in others. All right. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's a long list, and I don't want us to get bogged down just in definitions. But when you go home, read this again. Consider and compare. Well, we're going to get through the rest of it, but consider your life. Measure it by the Word of God. See if there's some areas that you need to work on. If you're like me, I've got a lot of areas I need to work on. There's a lot of this that's convicting to me. And that's what needs to happen. Because if it's convicting to us, then that means your heart is soft enough for the Spirit to prick. If you get hard-hearted about this, as soon as you start getting pricked by the Scriptures, you turn over and read the 23rd Psalm, you're missing the leadership and the education of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us as to what we need to do that we might be a better disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Not in iniquity. Now that's kind of fundamental, isn't it? We don't need to be thinking about the bad things. And in our conversations, if we're sharing information, we don't need to be looking for bad things. We don't need to be desiring, rejoicing. You know, there's something, that word rejoicing there says something about your eagerness to know. We don't want to rejoice in the evil. We want to rejoice in truth. That's why it's so important that we be reading the Bible every day, filling our mind and our heart with the truth that is in the Word of God. It will temper your behavior. It will remind you of these principles. It will help you to remember the love of God. It'll help you apply these principles when you're faced with situations that the flesh would act one way, but because of the Word of God and because it's ruling in our hearts, we want to be faithful to God, and so we're going to follow the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us that this is the way we need to do instead of what the flesh says. And when we do that, there'll be a joy that will come to our heart because we've been faithful. It wouldn't be what the Spirit, what the flesh wanted to do, but if we'll follow the leadership of the Spirit, we'll honor the Lord instead of following this flesh. This gets deep, doesn't it? When you think about how we need this Word and how it needs to, how we need to reflect this Word in our lives, there's a lot here that speaks of where the rubber meets the road as far as day-to-day living. How do I respond to adversity? How do I respond to being things that normally would upset? How do I respond to good news? How do I respond to all these things? That's when the Spirit is guiding us, when we've got these truths in our heart, when we've got those that understanding of what we should do. And we want to do it in love. All right? Rejoice is not in iniquity, verse 6, but rejoiceth in truth. Verse 7, beareth all things. I had a surprise recently. I've studied this, and checked sources, and ideas, and comments about others. But when I really looked at the definition of the word, you know what the literal definition of this is? Where he says, beareth all things. The literal definition of that is to cover. In other words, not to try to expose everything, not to try to bring so much out in the open, but to bear with it and try to improve the situation. Think about what the Lord did for us. Think of His mercy. How much mercy did it take for Him to have grace upon us? How many times have we offended God? I know you can't count that high. You don't have time. And yet, that's what grace is all about, isn't it? He came to us. He had mercy upon us. And He teaches us to learn what mercy is and to show mercy to others. It's interesting that we would find that where the word says beareth all things. And so, when you understand what it means, then you understand how we need to go about it. To bear those things, try to improve the situation. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Here again, it's not the idea of being gullible and just accepting everything at face value, but it is looking for the good. It is trying to overlook evil for good. There's a lot of overlap in these terms. But again, you go back to the idea of trying to work toward improvement. What if God gave up on us? You know, He's blessed us with a tremendous amount of understanding. He's blessed us in so many ways, and we still come short, don't we? What if He just said, "It's enough of that. I've wasted too much time, too much love, too much energy." Aren't you glad God's love's not like that? But to understand what He's telling us, how we're to be loving one another, I tell you, it'll require a whole lot more effort than what we've been putting into it, won't it? To love like He tells us we ought to be loving one another. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. The idea here is to hope for the best. See, the bent of so many of these things is in the same direction. To hope for the best. Things may not be right now the way you hope they will be. Do we give up? Do we change course? Or do we trust God? Is there any reason to give up on God? No. Keep that love. Understand that God does everything right. He doesn't always do things we want done, and He doesn't do it in the way we think it ought to be. But He's always right. So trust God. There's a lot of things that a lot of obstacles in life. I'm not blaming God with all the bad things that happen to the world. I don't know, not at all. But what I'm saying is when those things come, trust God. Hope for the best. And say, thy will be done. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Hang in there. Hang in there. We've got every reason to believe God has things in control. Nothing surprises God. It'll happen on His timetable. Keep trusting. Keep bearing up under the load. Sometimes life gets heavy, doesn't it? I'm thankful for the good times, but we need grace in the good times that we don't forget God. But it's especially sweet in the hard times that we have a God that we cannot acquaint with anything. We have a God who we cannot surprise with anything. We have a God who is able to do anything we need. We have a God who loves us more than we'll ever love Him. But He has given us His Word to instruct us on how we can love Him better. And if we'll love Him better, it'll be easier to love others better. Because He said first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the first and great commandment, isn't it? And if you try to bypass that, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to miss that fundamental truth of the love that we need to be feeling in our hearts every day. Because that's what energizes faith. That's what puts meaning in our works. Love. And so we have this whole chapter reminding us and teaching us how we need to go forth in life and how we need to apply these things. Endureth all things. To bear up under the bad times. And there's also the idea of trusting without murmuring. I think that needs to be said, don't you? Trusting without murmuring. You know, you read the Old Testament, especially during the time when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. Oh, boy. Don't you get impatient with those Israelites? Don't you get really impatient? Think, golly, all the things that they've seen, all that they've done, all that they've seen done before their eyes, all the deliverances that they've had, all the mercy that they receive every day, the manna keeps falling. You might say, when will they ever get it? Well, come up to 2014. Have we gotten it yet? When are we going to get it? Oh, may God help us to remember His mercy, to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's our hope. We always have that glorious hope in front of us. But we're not there yet. We need to live our lives, and it needs to be to the glory of God, and it needs to be in love with God. He's worthy of our affections, first and foremost. And use His Word to help us to understand how we can love Him better. When we have a better understanding, did we get through? I think we did. Beareth all things. The rest of the chapter is pretty much commentary on the need for this love and how it will, let's just very quickly. He says in verse 8, charity never faileth. never faileth. If you have options, take the one that will show the most love. It'll be a blessing. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. In other words, they'll come to pass, they'll be fulfilled, there'll be no need for them. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. The gift of tongues that the church had in the early days, it was a sign gift of the authentic working of the Holy Spirit, but that the reason for that no longer exists. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Many of the things that we needed to learn to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good son, to be a good daughter, to be a good whatever. Many of the things that we need to learn, those challenges won't be in heaven. We won't need that then, but we sure need it now. Right? We sure do. All right? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't know it all, do we? But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we as God's people need to put away a lot of childish things and grow and mature in the Word of God. For now we see through a glass darkly. Oh, don't you want more understanding? Don't you want to know? I'm sure that each one of us who have an interest in the Scriptures, there are things that you've read for years and you still don't have an answer to. We see through a glass darkly. He says, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. How does God know you right now? He knows everything about us. And he says, we know in part right now, but then I shall know even as also I'm known. This, along with some other scriptures, teaches us that we'll have a far, far better understanding in heaven. Aren't you looking forward to that time? And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. Faith, hope, charity. We've talked about adding to our faith. We've talked about love. We've touched on hope some. But he says, now abideth these three. We need faith, don't we? What a blessing hope is. We need charity. We need to be showing love in all that we do. Again, if we don't have the loving component of our works here, works of faith, then we don't have much energy for it, and it won't be of much use. He says, I abided these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's see, was it Elder Monsees that wrote that love is the greatest thing this world has ever known? And that's the way he ends that. But charity will still live on through all eternity. Yes, God's love will be praising God's love in all eternity. And we'll know how to do it there. And we'll do it with the perfect understanding of all that he's done for us. And we'll be able to thank him and praise him as we should in all eternity. But how about now? How about now? Are we thanking him and praising him to the best of our ability now? Are we showing forth our love to him for what he's done for us to the best of our ability now? I submit to you that we could do a lot of growing, don't you think? I can. Perhaps you can. But God's given us His Word. He's taught us these principles in His Word. We need to read those principles. We need to try to understand them. We need to beg God to give us the leadership of the Spirit so that we can have a better understanding of these things, so that we can grow, so that we can add to our faith. But all the while, as we go about trying to add, and as we try to go about applying, we need to remember to do it in love. Charity. A wonderful subject. I wish I could preach it like it is. May God add His blessings to these things. May we go back and read over it. May we be blessed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can better show forth the love that He has given to us. May God bless you is our prayer.